From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
You try to build relationships with players throughout the spring, and then they kind of, you know, support you like that. It makes you feel really good. And, you know, it's one game, but obviously your first one as a manager, our first one of the season. You know, it feels good to get that one out of the way. But it was nice to have them greet me like that. I didn't really know how to react, but it was pretty nice.
Beer shower?
I got a little bit of a beer shower today. You know, I can't remember the last time I had any kind of an alcohol shower. It probably had to be 20-some years ago. But hopefully I'll get an opportunity to do that again someday.
Don't worry about it, Paul. Paul Molitor, there'll be few and far between. Your Twins, home opener today. It'll be sold out, if it always is. They'll pack the joint next and tomorrow. They'll have a, geez, what'll they have? Maybe a tenth of that. But the home opener today, KC, and 1-5 is what your Twins come back. It's early in the season. We're not going to dog them. I like Paul Molitor. I like the fact that he's, you know, the manager. It's just that he got a bad, basically, he got a bad roll of the die when it came to Irvin Santana. What he did, that idiot move. With the PEDs. He didn't know it, though. They never know it. But your Twins, we'll see how that goes. They play later today. Oh, you're Wild. You know, we're going to have Jordan Leopold join us momentarily. Wild defenseman. Also, Tom Reed will be with us. Why they don't play until Thursday? There's no games until Wednesday. I thought they'd be starting by tomorrow, that they'd get these games going.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when you consider the travel time between here to St. Louis.
No, but I mean, all the teams there, none of them have ridiculous, because it's not like they're going cross-country. It shouldn't be, they should have, I thought they'd start on Tuesday, and the latest the Wild would play would be Wednesday, but they don't get going until Thursday in St. Louis. We'll see how that turns out, and we're going to talk a bit about Jordan Spieth. This kid's unbelievable. I mean, the poise he has and the maturity for a 21-year-old to be as mature he is and as cool as he is. I would have liked to have seen him make the par putt at 18, so he would have been 19 under, instead of having to share things with Tiger Woods at 18 under. But still, 18 under, tying the all-time best Masters record. He was just incredible watching him play, and he's not too shabby around the greens.
Yeah, he looked okay.
He looked okay. Can you imagine having that game? And he's not like and we talked to Jim Suhan about it last week. He's not he doesn't slay the ball. I mean, he's not a, you know, huge hitter. He just hits and he gets himself out of trouble and get himself in trouble.
He did a lot of furs and gurs, as I say.
The furs and gurs?
Yeah. Fairways in regulation, greens in regulation.
I mean, he had a couple of out of gurs. But they weren't so far out where it was a bad thing. It was just off the fairway a few times. But, my God, this kid could play. And you look at what's ahead with him and Rory McIlroy and his others, but those probably will be the two dominant names over at least the next decade. So then some other kid will come along and join in all the fun. I mean, people who were wondering about – and Tiger didn't have a bad Masters. Actually, when you look at some of the scores, some of the runners-up, like Phil Mickelson, usually a 14 under would absolutely win it for you. But, you know, Jordan Spieth was just incredible. Also incredible is he on there yet?
Just about.
We have another Jordan, whose game probably is not that different than Jordan Spieth, Jordan Leopold. Jordan, how are you?
Hi, Sandy. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Did you watch the Masters yesterday?
No, I didn't get a chance to. I was busy doing stuff at home.
But you are a big-time golfer, right?
Well, I used to be until I had four kids.
Well, I know about that. I have five of them. I know exactly what you mean. I was never good, but I stopped playing once we started knocking those kids out. So
yeah, I'm lucky to get maybe three, four rounds in a summer. But the ones I do, I'm grateful for.
Yeah. Now, how exciting is this for you? I mean, you came back to Minnesota, you came to the Wild, and now you're getting ready. You're the hottest team in hockey, getting ready to play St. Louis in the first round.
It's been kind of a dream come true. I mean, really, I've always wanted to play at home professionally, and just kind of waiting for that time, if it would maybe happen. If it wouldn't, you know, whatever. But in the end, things work out for reasons unknown, and I'm ecstatic to be here and have an opportunity to play. And and be part of this run is pretty special. Anytime you get in the playoffs, you never know what can happen, and you know, we look to move forward and continue on the way we've been playing the last couple months.
We're talking to Wild defenseman Jordan Leopold. And Jordan, I was with your in-laws the day that you were drafted, and everybody was lamenting, why didn't the Wild get you? And over the years, a lot of people wonder, well, will he ever get here? Why don't they pick him up? When you got that call, and the story about your daughter was great, by the way, that letter that she had written for to Chuck Fletcher, it had to be, as you said, a dream come true. But did you have to actually say, is it really happening? I mean, did you pinch yourself a little bit?
Yeah, when I did get traded, I was in my apartment in Columbus, and I got off the elevator. I was going to get a cup of coffee, and I got the phone call that I was being traded. And first question is, where?
That's a good question.
General managers always forget to tell you where you've been traded, but it's one of those things where they told me, and it was instant relief and instant tears in a way, because my family was in Minnesota, I was in Columbus, and I wanted to go home and see my family, but you never know what's going to happen on that crazy day, and it all ended up working out. You know, I went through a little bit of pain there for 3.5 months, being without the family and being in a tough situation in Columbus, and things worked for weird reasons. And then I started the season in St. Louis, and now here we are facing off in the playoffs.
Now, how much can that help you playing against St. Louis? Things that you know about, you know some of the quirks and some of the tendencies for these guys you're going to be facing?
Well, it is. I mean, I know those guys on a personal level, but really with today's game, everything being on video and every coach dissecting video, it's pretty easy to figure out how teams play, tendencies, this and that. So the only advantage that I have is I have more of a personal feel of what goes on in their room. But, you know, we're going to use whatever we can to our advantage and just continue on playing the way we play.
Talking to Jordan Leopold, Wild, for the defenseman. Jordan, when you went into that Wild locker room for the first time, it gives me the impression that these guys are very well, certainly welcomed Devin Dubnyk, and that worked out. But, I mean, it seems like the chemistry, it's a good chemistry in the locker room, and you've been in a lot of them. How good is it in there?
Yeah, I've been in a lot of locker rooms. These are good guys. A lot of them care about what's going on in the community or in the area. You got a lot of local guys, a lot of guys that play at WCHA, college. I think the main thing is we've won as a team. Yeah, Dubnyk has been outstanding, but you know, I think he'll give credit to the rest of the guys as well going along, and that's what we find in our locker room is, you know, guys pulling together, guys doing things for each other, and that's sometimes more important than how good you are at hockey. Sometimes it's what kind of chemistry you have as a group.
Have you been on a team going into the playoffs that must have the type of confidence this Wild team does about playing on the road? I mean, had you won your final game, you would have set an all-time NHL record for road successive wins on the road. It's unbelievable, I mean, in a lot of ways, but the confidence must be sky high.
Well, you want to be peaking at the right time, and in the last couple months, even before I got there, the groups had to play a heck of a solid game in order to get us in the playoffs, managed to do that. And I've said this before, it reminds me a lot when I was younger, when I was, 24 years old, I was in Calgary, and we traded for a guy by the name of Mika Kiprusoff and came in and shut the door for the last couple months of the season. Had extreme confidence going to the playoffs, never know what's going to happen, and we made it all the way to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. So, there's a lot of hard work that goes into it, a lot of luck as well, and a lot of it's attitude, but you know, we have a good feeling going on, and we're just going to take this thing one day at a time, the same way we've been doing the last couple months.
When you guys found out you're not playing until Thursday, were you kind of hoping that it would be sooner than that, just to get it going again? Not that you're going to, I don't think you're going to lose whatever you've had going here, but it is nice just to keep it on a roll, isn't it?
Well, it is nice to get going. Wednesday would have been nice, but Thursday is what it is, and both teams are in the same situation, so nobody has an advantage, disadvantage of not playing. We're both in the same boat, and when that puck drops, it's going to be a war from the battle. You know, you try to set that tempo, that tone in that game one, and we'll see how it goes.
How many guys on this team have you played with before? Do you have any former teammates?
Well, Chris Stewart, who ended up getting traded.
Yep.
Thomas Vanek, Jason Palmerville. If I continue to go down
there's
line,
a few.
Line up. I played with guys USA Hockey with Zach and Suter. I think that's it. I mean, who knows? I'm probably forgetting guys, but it's been a few. And you know what? Living here in the summer, I
run into
guys.
Them, yep.
Yeah, I end up skating with them here and there. Last couple of years has been tough because I've moved away in August to go to St. Louis or wherever I've been for my kids to go to school because they start in August. So summers have been short, but I know most of the guys, know the mentality, and just happy to be part of it.
Jordan, was this the first year your family didn't go with you to one of the cities you were playing in? or have you done that before?
Yes, it pretty much is. Every deadline move, I've been moved in the past. The family has somehow, some way found a way to visit or come. What was different with this one is the school. I have three kids in elementary school, and I can't be moving them around. And they gotta find a home base, and coming back home when I was in Columbus was the right choice. I have my in-laws, my parents are around. It's people to chip in and help for me not being around. I'm pretty involved with my kids. I coach hockey, soccer, whatever it may be, and like to be around. And when I'm not, it does kind of tear me apart as a human being and as a parent. But as everybody read with my daughter's letter, she missed me too, and the kids did as well. So it's just a great story to be home, and I'm happy. And I tell you what, I'm just excited. I'm excited for our community, especially growing up here and being in playoffs. And they get the vibe, and everybody's excited, and it's a great feeling.
Now, Jordan, talking to Jordan Leopold, your daughter's name is Jordan, J-O-R-D-Y-N, your J-O-R-D-A-N. Was there any doubt that kid's name was going to be Jordan, whether it was a boy or a girl? Doesn't seem like it.
No, if it was a boy, I don't think it was going to.
Oh, really?
One of those ideas that my wife came up with.
And she's very imaginative.
I scoffed at it. I didn't really. I was kind of doing the same thing most people do. How do you have a Jordan and a Jordan? I mean, it is a little bit confusing, but we call my daughter Jor, and I'm just Leo or Dad or whatever it may be to all my some of my friends call me Leo, and otherwise they call it by first name. But if it's confusing, it's Big Jordan and Little Jordan, so clear the air.
Well, Jordan, I know your wife, and she's I think the world of her. But I've learned over time, don't scoff too often at your wife.
No, I don't. I did on the letter for the first couple hours, but it all ended up working out okay. My fear with that letter getting out was if the media ended up spinning it in a negative way. And
nobody did.
No, nobody did, but you can't stop it once it starts. That's the thing. And TSN, the ESPN equivalent in Canada, got a hold of it, which just went wildfire.
Yeah.
And it was a good story in the end. It's nice to see some of those heartfelt stories on days that are really tough on guys. And I think a lot of people around the league and a lot of people in this world can relate to it, because most people have kids, and they're very innocent, and they tell the truth, and that's what it was.
She was great. I talked to her, and I did something for the Pioneer Press, and she's a heck of a quote.
Yeah, she is. She's pretty witty, pretty shy. I didn't know how she'd take the attention, but after a while, she started to get used to it and was asking for more. But kind of had to shut down the well-oiled machine, I guess, as you say, and get her back into reality and go back to school and really have fun with it. I think her classmates and everyone else had fun with it too.
Now, do you, I'm going to ask if you could go, this would go back to your sophomore year. When did you go to Michigan to play? Because you were the first group of that U.S. team, right?
The National Development Program. It opened up in 1997, 98, and that was my senior year. It was only available 1 year. Most people end up going when they're juniors in high school,
okay.
But I ended up going as a senior.
So it would have been your junior year that I met you, and I don't know if you recall, but I was thinking about it when I knew I was going to talk to you. I was introduced to you, and I guess you knew that I worked for a newspaper. You're very wary. I could care less that you know where you were going to go, what you were going to do. But you hockey players, you're very protective and secretive at times.
Oh, we are. I'm pretty humble. I don't like to be in the limelight. I just like to live a normal life. But my in-laws, they end up knowing you, so that's how I get tied in with you. And it's been a good run. You know, who knows? Who knew it was going to be 13 years professionally, a great college career.
It's incredible too, because when I think back to that team that you won the national title with, and also when you made your Hobie Baker speech, you won the Hobie Baker Award. It doesn't seem like it's 13 years.
No, it doesn't. It seems like it was yesterday, and it goes by fast. And you know what? I'm here to enjoy it, and especially at the tail end of my career right now. I'm willing to do whatever, and I am so happy to be at home. It's been a dream come true, and whatever the team asks of me, I'll be able to do it. Whatever wisdom I share, I'm going to be able to do it. I have no hard feelings for anybody. You know, as far as guys playing over me at this point, it's all about how we can win and how we can do the town right. That's the attitude.
It's a great attitude. Now, Jordan, have you thought beyond this year of what you're going to do? Will you try to play next year, or are you thinking of retiring? Or have you made that decision?
We'll look at the health.
Typical
body,
answer.
The family, and we'll go from there. It would be great to play another year at home, but you know, we'll see. We'll just have to visit there, and we'll just stay focused on playoffs as of right now.
Well, that is the right attitude. Jordan Leopold. Hey, Jordan, thanks so much for talking to me and making the time for 105 The Ticket. Really appreciate it, and we'll certainly stay in touch. Thank you.
Hey. No problem. Thanks, Danny. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care. Jordan Leopold, Wild defenseman. We're going to come right back. We got, you know, the Wild are in the postseason. You look around at these other teams, that's not going to happen for a while, so we're going to come right back. We're going to talk to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. We'll be right back with Tom.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
It was Tommy B. Good.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, it's Tommy B. Good.
Yeah.
We are joined by Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, how are you? Do you like the draw? That's the first thing to ask.
Well, I'm just glad we're in the playoffs. We'll see what the draw is going to bring us. But St. Louis is going to be a very tough opponent. There's no question. They're a big, strong team. And they didn't show all of their cards on the last game of the season on Saturday in St. Louis. And Minnesota did not either, so it'll be interesting. Minnesota had a pretty good record against them this year, going 2-1-1 in that stretch. But now it's playoff time, and it's a totally different animal.
And this team, do you, you've seen them since their inception. Do they have that other gear, that playoff gear?
Yeah, I think they do. I really do. I mean, I think every team has a different gear. One, you know, you work all year long to be in the playoffs. That's number one. The ultimate prize is the Stanley Cup, but you work all season long, but now you get in the playoffs, and the only money you accumulate in playoffs is money as you advance from series to series. And the most you can go is 4 series, 16 games. You need 16 wins out of possible 28 games in the playoffs to get the Stanley Cup. But I think for the most part that both these teams certainly are very afraid of each other. They both respect each other, and I think that's going to go a long ways to what happens in the first series.
Now, Tom, there are guys here that have their game has come up over the last several weeks, more than the last month after the All-Star break. Are there some guys that you're expecting once the playoff starts, they have to take it or will take it to that next level and need to play better?
Well, you expect your top-end players, you know, your senior players to be able to step up. And I'm talking about the Parisis and the Pominvilles and the Koivus and the Suitors and so on. You expect your best players have to be your best players. But so often, Bob, you get into the playoff contention, and it's not so much those guys, but the guys who are on the third and fourth line, they really do make a difference. But it all starts between the pipes. And right now, you know, Devin Dubnyk has been absolutely terrific for Minnesota. To me, he's the heart winner this year should be what he's done for this team. Nobody, no other player has done for their team. He's really has turned this whole season around for Minnesota.
Tom, go back to talking to Tom Reed from the Wild broadcast team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Since even going back to when you played, how often have you seen something like this? Not necessarily a goalie, but a player who came in and had that kind of an impact.
I really haven't, Bob. I can tell you. I've gone back in my own mind about players and what they bring to a team, but I've never seen a player that really has transformed a team like Doobie has with Minnesota. He's been absolutely great. I mean, he gave them confidence. Before that, they were not very confident. I don't believe in the goaltending. And both, when you look at Backstrom and Kemper, both they're both good goaltenders. They just both had difficult times at the same time. And the only way to turn around was to see if there's somebody else. And they finally found somebody in the likes of Dubnyk. And I know that Chuck Fletcher, you know, bringing him in, he didn't expect this to happen. And I've talked to him about this, but he said that it worked. And as a result of that, the team is playing with a lot more confidence right now and wins. I mean, just look what he's done on the road. You know, when you look at his road record this year, 15-2-1 in that stretch, and that's unheard of. This team won 12 games in a row on the road, which ties a NHL record set by Detroit in 05-06. But for them to win that, and they possibly could have won on Saturday, but they changed the lineup a little bit just to give some of their star players a rest.
Yep.
And really, they didn't want to show their card. A little poker game, I guess, between the coaches.
Well, and that game is basically you just throw it out the window because, as you said, the playoffs are a different animal. But I was trying to think, even in other sports, And the, I mean, the, one of the guys I came up with, but he was out of football, was stocking shelves for a while, Kurt Warner, who had an opportunity and then came back, and suddenly he was all, you know, he was an all-pro player. But even in hockey, I mean, at his age, what's he, 27 or 28? It just doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. Now the question is, can he do the same thing through the playoffs that he did during the course of the year? It becomes different, Bob. The intensity level is ramped up. And we just hope that, Minnesota's got that talent that can ramp it up once more. We know that St. Louis is going to be a banging team. We know they're going to come in here and try to take Minnesota out of the play. Now, that being said, Minnesota has speed in the front end. If they can get the guys like, you know, the Fontaines and the Zuckers and guys of that caliber with speed and draw penalties, that will be a positive. But at the same time, their power play has to work too. I was at practice this morning. They spent a lot of time working the power play with an AMB squad, and that has to perform properly in the playoffs if you want to win games.
You're absolutely right. But this team also has the benefit of having veteran players, and not just from last year, who've been through this before. They understand. It's not a team that doesn't understand that next level, and you have to, you know, turn up your game. So that's obviously a plus for this team. The veteran leaders know what it takes.
Well, you're right. And Minnesota has two players who have won the Stanley Cup. You look at Matt Cook, he won it with Pittsburgh, and you look at also Ryan Carter. He won it in 07 with Anaheim. Both these players have, not that Carter played a lot, but he was part of that winning combination that made it work. And those guys understand what it takes. And I think for the most part, most of the players on Minnesota have been through this mill before. So they know what it takes to win games. They haven't been there for the most part. Very few players win multiple Stanley Cups. But it's hard when you get into it. And I go back to LA, just 3 years ago when they were the eighth place seed going into the playoffs, won the Stanley Cup. They won it last year. Now they're out of the playoffs this year. It changes so quickly here. Hockey, I think, is probably the most difficult sport there is to win back-to-back Stanley Cups.
How many, Tom, when you played, how many Stanley Cup playoffs were you in?
Bob, I don't know.
I mean, but you certainly were in a. I mean, you were in a few of them. And did you? What's the? That's the point I wanted to. Number's not as important, but just from your days, is it? I mean, first of all, the adrenaline has got to be surging when you get in. I mean, is it? No one has to say anything. Is it just pretty much you just know your body is going? It's going to feel better, and everything is going to get quicker and faster for you. For you too.
Yeah, I mean, your mind is constantly on the game. The focus has to be there, and. I look at, in my own experience as a player, I mean, from early morning until that game is over, that's all you're thinking about is winning and not wanting to make a mistake and wanting to be helped and being able to contribute in a positive way. And so it's a lot of pressure on the guys. But once they get into that winning mode, boy, it's just, you hope that confidence carries you through. And I remember going against the Montreal Canadiens in 1971. They won it in six games, and we scored a goal at the very end of the game, but they did not count. We didn't have replays and so on. But I saw the puck in the net before the final horn went off, and it still bothers me to this day because that would have made the series 3-3. And as a result of not counting that goal, it became a 4-2 win for Montreal. But we were the first expansion team with the North Stars to win over one of the old established clubs back in 72. And it was a great feeling what we accomplished that year, but we didn't win the cup, and that will... Of course, be a negative in my career, but I never got a chance to win the cup or wear one of those big rings they wear nowadays.
Well, and we're talking now over 40 years ago, and it still gnaws at you.
Oh, you know, it does. Absolutely, it does. You know, there's bad things you remember, but there's certain games that come to mind over the years, and you know, having played over 700 games in the NHL plus the playoffs, there's very few games I remember. That certainly was a series that. Will be with me forever.
Now, talking to Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Tom, I got to tell you, one of the things that I remember is some of the, as both of our friends, Charlie Walters from the Pioneer Press calls it, some of the grub I've had at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. You have got some great, you have great food there, and it's a great place to be. And you did say people don't need tickets to come in on Thursday night. Just show up early because it's going to be packed.
Well, they got to get there early. It will be packed on Thursday and also Saturday. Bob, and
of course, yes.
During that, we do specials of $2 for $5 on many of the drinks. But our food is very good, and we've won a number of awards with our products and near our food products too. So we know that the fans want to be someplace where there's even at home games. We do it for both at home and away. So it's two for $5. Yep. So I can guarantee you that they'll have a good time there.
You know, the one thing I know about your place, Tom, when I get your plate of food, I take it as a challenge because your people put so much food on there that most people don't finish it. I am proud to say
I do.
I'll tell you what, it's worked because you give them a lot of food and it's great food.
There's not too many people, Bob, that can eat two or three full plates of food, but I've seen you do it.
Well, you've seen me and Mike and Superstar Mike Morris do it side by side. No, you have wonderful food. Try the cheese curds, by the way. Okay. They are phenomenal. Tom, thanks so much. Tom Reed from the Wild Broadcast Team and Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. Check out the pub on, well, every night, but Thursday night if you want to watch. It'd be part of the revelry in downtown St. Paul. That's the place to go.
Hey, you coming down to broadcast at our place or not?
Mike and Ben will be there, I believe, this week.
Mike will be there. Okay,
yep.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
That's
right.
A great place, Tom. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll talk to Hollis Kavner. Hollis, he's the executive director of the 3M Championship here. And also he is the executive director of other PGA events around the country. And I want to talk to Hollis. He was in Augusta to watch Jordan Spieth. His thoughts on what type of impact Jordan Spieth will have on golf, and could it be anything near with the impact that Tiger Woods had? If anyone knows, it would be Hollis. We'll be right back with Hollis Kavner. You darn tootin' it is.
Toot.
We are joined by Hollis Kavner. He is the executive director of the 3M Championship right here at the TPC in Blaine. Also runs several PGA events around the nation. And Hollis, I want to congratulate you because in 29 years you'll have Jordan Spieth playing in the 3M.
God, I hate to wait that long. He's such a great young man. We can bring him out tomorrow.
Well, he is. It was so much fun watching this kid. I've rarely seen a 21-year-old that mature and certainly that poised on the course. I mean, his on the greens, he's unbelievable.
Well, it's he won my event in Tampa. The Valspar Championship that we manage. And we had lunch with him 4 days that week out of the seven. We had in the locker room there, had lunch with him. I didn't know him very well going in. I'd met him a couple times and we knew the same people. But after having lunch with him 4 days, I got to know him really pretty good. And listening to him at lunch, a couple of kids at the table there, 27, 28-year-old players are talking about they want to win more, do more, so they can buy jets and everything else and buy an airplane. And his comment was, I want to buy a ranch first.
Good for him.
I went, who is this kid?
Well, he won Do you see what he won, Hollis? $1.8 million for winning the Masters. I'd say if he hasn't. I heard he bought something. I think CBS mentioned he bought a house, but I don't know if it was a ranch or not. He certainly could afford that.
No, he bought that house, that's for sure. But he's a Texas boy, and Vlad said at the table he wants to buy a ranch. I mean,
that's great.
I was like, wow. And but what a nice young man. And he's just he could not have been better at our event when he won, Bobby. I mean, to the volunteers, to our sponsors, to everything else, he's just a class act the whole time. And I saw him on Tuesday up there, and he came up to the hall and visited. And, basically I said, you guys see me do anything in Tampa before you let me know. And then the kid goes out and goes wire to wire. So it's just amazing to watch. And I tell you, he's the real deal. This is not a flash in the pan kind of guy. This kid's there for a long time.
No, and talking to Hollis Kavner, the executive director of the 3M Championship, and also, you run, and how many PGA events do you run around the country?
Well, we have six other events total. We have a Champions Tour and PGA Tour that we run around the U.S. So the one he won in Tampa, the Valspar Championship, happened to be one of them. So.
Well, Hollis, you know what you need to do? Now you got to get the PGA back here so you can have him. He'll come for you. You know he will.
I know. We put in a request, as you know, to have a PGA Tour event there. There's just no dates available, Bob.
Yeah, that's a problem.
We've got the first right of refusal to have one if there is one. So if there's ever a date opens up, we're ready to take it. I know that.
Well, you know what, Hollis? I would think, and you know this better than me, what he did yesterday, tying Tiger's 18-under record, and him and Rory McIlroy and some of these young players, nobody's going to give up a PGA event because they are too valuable now, especially after what he did.
Well, between him and Rory and all the young guys you got coming up, there's some really, really unbelievable great talent. And I got to tell you something, the kids are fun. I mean, these guys are having a good time out there. They're not robots anymore. I mean, you know, we went through a phase there where some of the young guys that now are in their mid-30s and stuff because of how certain players acted. They were very stoic and didn't show much emotion. You got guys now that are having a ball at it and they're fiery. I mean, people say what they want to about Patrick Reed. You know, that kid's fiery. For him to jump up and say, you know, hey, I'm one of the best in the world, we got a little bit of trash talk going on tour now. So I think we're in a real good position on the PGA Tour and on the Champions Tour.
Now, Hollis, do you think what Jordan Spieth did, can it have any type or any sort of impact as what Tiger had when he started winning majors? I mean, will it get young people involved again, or is it just a different time and just a different, you know, a different situation?
No, I think between he's done, Rory's doing, you know, you've got a bunch of other young guys out there. Same thing, you know. You got some great young kids coming up right now. They're going to come out and play just as what Brooks Koepka, you know, first year out of college. Kids like this, these guys are phenomenal athletes, and I think you're going to see more and more kids growing into getting into the game. We had a lull there. You know, there was that post Tiger lull.
Yep.
And post Tiger, he's still there, still playing, but there was a big peak and then it kind of fell off. And I think we're back on that rise again. But I definitely think Jordan's going to bring a lot of people to the game. And the other thing is just the way he handles himself and stuff. His parents got to be so proud of him for the way he acts and stuff. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And also to see him with his sister who's autistic. I mean, the way he dotes on and devotes himself to his sister is really pretty exceptional.
Well, his foundation, I think, is to raise money for autism and for kids dealing with different types of disabilities. So, I mean, at 21, he's got a great head on his shoulders. And, you know, and I wanted to mention that to you. I'm watching, see, now you were there. I'm watching on TV. The only thing that is you could say about him that he sort of gets distracted with on the course, he's got to stop worrying about his hair. Because I think he wants to make sure that clearly, it's receding. But he, like, takes the hat off, and he won't take it high enough. He pats his head down. He wants to look good when he doesn't have his hat on. Hey, people don't care about that when you have a game like that. I don't know if you've noticed that about him.
I did notice. Matter of fact, we were all in some of the guys were giving him a hard time about it in the locker room. You know, all these young guys, that are out there now, they all came up together through the college ranks and the junior ranks. They were all giving him you need to get on Rogaine and stuff. I agree. You know, with a game like his, you can shave your head, you're going to be just fine.
Exactly. You know, and these guys always wear hats, so if he wouldn't take it off, nobody would ever know.
I tell you, I thought it was class act that he came back out. Before even going to scoring yesterday, comes back out and claps to the crowd and thanks the crowd.
That was great.
He hasn't even went in and cleared the final hurdle, which is adding this stuff up and making sure it's right.
I tell you, Hollis, I was watching him and wondering, what if he does screw it up? Could you imagine that? But obviously he has he's got his caddy checking it over it's not going to get screwed up. But I also noticed, and you did too, when he went back out to clap for the crowd, he didn't doff the cap like they do in baseball. No. He left his hat on.
No, he didn't do that. But I'll tell you, Bob, if you get to meet him, you're going to love the guy. He's really a nice young man. It didn't hurt us at all that he was, that they were mentioning every 2 minutes during the telecast for 4 days that he just won our tournament. We were all laughing. All our Pro League folks are down there because we had a huge, huge contingent of our sponsors at Augusta this last week.
That's great.
And everybody kept laughing and saying, you know, what's this worth to our sponsor right now for being mentioned about, I think they had 48 or 50 mentions during the Masters of our title sponsors. I felt pretty good about that.
You know, and that was just last month, right?
1 month ago. So
you know what you should do? What you need to do now is, Hollis has sent a little email to him. You know, now that Jordan has won, we may have to up the prices a little bit, so we just want to let you know.
Yeah, actually, I should just send him a replay of the 48 mentions on TV and say, by the way, what is this worth?
I'll tell you what, Hollis, I just took a look. You have one. That is one heck of a purse. You give almost $6 million in prize purse for your tournament?
Yes.
That's incredible. I mean, the Masters was only nine.
Yeah. No, we've got a great event there, and it's getting bigger. We just took it over 17 months ago, and, you know, it was kind of a loser, as you know, down in Tampa for many years. And, you know, we're giving millions this year to charity.
Good for you.
And we're going to continue to raise the purse by a couple $100,000 a year for the next 5 years. It's in our plans already. And, you know, that event has a great chance to be something special. And now that we've got Jordan as our champion, it's going to make it a lot easier for us to be promoting it. I can tell you that.
Absolutely. And, Hollis, before I let you go, Hollis Kavner, the executive director of the 3M Championship, who are some of the names you know you're going to have already for the three? I know we're a few months out, but some of the names you'll have.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the great things about being at the Masters this week is I got to have, as usual, for the last probably 10 years, I've got to have lunch with Arnold on Tuesday and Wednesday at the Masters.
Good friend of yours, of course.
He comes into town. And Jack was there and Gary was there, and I got to talk to all of them, and I got all the big three to commit.
Is that right?
To play. Yes.
Oh, that's great.
And they are all going to come back, and I told them, and Annika Sorenstam was there with us too, and Annika said she wanted to come back. Johnny Miller, all those guys have told me they want to come back. So we're bringing back that legendary group.
Terrific.
To put them together, because as I told him, you didn't finish. We got rained out on 17. You know, we have to have a champion. And we were all laughing about it, but I've got commitments, firm commitments from all the groups to come back and play and be a part of the week's deal. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Phenomenal. That's great. Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer. Not too shabby, Hollis. Not too shabby at all.
That was the first tee at Augusta National on Thursday morning, those three guys.
Yeah, that's right. Those are the guys that started. Well, Hollis, thank you so much. You know, we're going to see if we can broadcast from there. It'd be great to have these guys on and have you on with us, too. That'd be wonderful. Hollis,
I'd love to have you there, Bob.
It'd be terrific. Hollis Kavner, thanks so much. We'll stay in touch. Thank you.
All right, take care.
All right, take care. All right, Hollis Kavner, executive director of the 3M Championship, and also he runs the Valspar Championship. That's what Jordan Spieth won before he headed over to Augusta National to win the Masters in record-breaking fashion. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. Call in. You want to do it now because we are going to give away tickets to Thursday's Twins game, the day game. You want those tickets? We're going to have ourselves a little spelling bee. If you know your Twins, you're going to win this spelling bee. We'll be right back. 651-989-9105. Start lighting it up.